Well, it is a privilege to be here. I thank God for this opportunity. Of course, Dr. Beal always travels with the ensemble. He's preaching today in Virginia, so I do count it a privilege and a blessing to be with the ensemble. And a lot of pressure preaching here, I'm telling you what. Dr. Sret just intimidates the fire out of me. I'll just say that right off the top. I had been on campus like about 2 minutes and somebody came up to me, and this is what they said, and this is a graduate, husband-wife graduate in the ministry. They said, the wife says to me, "We love Dr. Sret." And then they said, "We love Dr. Sret." And then she said, "We listen to me when I preach in chapel," she says, "I listen to it." And she says, "Then at night, my husband and I listen to it several times, critiquing my preaching." And got all done, and she said, "You know what? You're not Dr. Sret, but you are Dr. Sret-like." All right? I call that a victory. I call that a victory. I went home. I told that to my wife 3 times that night. You know that? That's like great. Praise the Lord. One time, I'm preaching homiletics, and we got a couple of guys in the class there, and the guys in the class were critiquing the critique sheet, Dr. Sret, because they thought I had done it. And then I said, "Who do you think did the critique sheet?" "Dr. Sret." All criticism stopped of it right then. You understand? In our Bibles this morning, John chapter 1. If you go there, John chapter 1, we have a table over here. I'm sure you'd like to stop by over there. We have some things for sale, obviously, some things free. Couple of things to pray about at Ambassador Baptist College. First of all, this week we have college days. We had college days in the fall. We had 20 to 25 teenagers, juniors and seniors on campus. And we're having college days again this Thursday and Friday. Last I heard, we had 20 signed up for that, so we praise the Lord for that. We're also teaching online classes for high school juniors and seniors this semester. First time we've ever done that. We call that the Step Ahead program. Dr. Beal is teaching personal evangelism, and I'm teaching the book of Acts, and so it's very exciting. We have about 15 altogether enrolled in that. I have 11 in the Acts class, kind of exciting. Most of them children of ABC graduates, but not all. Many of them planning to come to Ambassador eventually, some of them in the fall. But we have a young man who's from Cameroon, a missionary kid. He's right on there. And so something we had to do under COVID was finish on Zoom. And so we're using that in the classroom. Really kind of exciting, kind of interesting. Kids really from all over the country. And then we have that missionary kid from Cameroon. He's told me that he's planning to be there in the fall. And so it's kind of an exciting class. And we're going to continue that program. I want to look in John chapter 1 this morning. As I'm thinking about the ministry today, as I'm thinking about Ambassador Day, as I'm thinking about life today, I thought of this passage, that what we need is a voice. A voice. There's a lot of different voices today, aren't there? Clamoring for our attention. We live in such a day that we're just really, to be honest, we're bombarded, aren't we, with different voices. The internet, social media, all kinds of things. And here in the text this morning that we want to look at, we have a description of a godly voice. John chapter 1 in your Bibles. John chapter 1, I want to start reading in verse 19. You follow with me. John chapter 1, verse 19. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah, and they which were sent of the Pharisees." And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is whom coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." A voice. Ambassadors started 33 years ago to produce people to go into the Lord's work. And that calling, that ministry, is still absolutely essential today. This last summer, my wife and I had the privilege of traveling with one of the singing groups. Some of them are in this group. And so we flew to Boston. I had never been north of Philadelphia. In fact, to be honest with you, and I don't tell anybody this, but I don't even understand the geography of New England. You know that? I don't even think New Englanders understand the geography of New England. I mean, some of those states, in 5 minutes, you've driven through them. I mean, they told me there's one exit off the interstate. You're in one state if you go one way and another state if you go the other way. I don't understand those things. You know that? I mean, Nebraska, where we came from, that's 500 miles wide. You understand? I mean, now it's a boring drive, but it's still a long drive. You understand? It takes you all day. And so we were with the singing group, and it was just amazing to me when you travel with a singing group, the different kind of churches you get into. And I was struck by how essential every single one of them is. The first Sunday we were in Maine. Sunday morning we were in Rachel's home church. We went to dinner to Rachel's house. Rachel wasn't there, but we were there, and it was Father's Day that day, so your mom made a steak for all the fathers, so I got a steak. Everybody else didn't get one. I like that. I like that kind of ministry. And we left there from Sunday morning, and we went to a church Sunday night. And we pulled into a hotel parking lot. And it was a hot day. And it was kind of a, well, you understand what I'm saying, Pastor? It's a motel my wife would never stay at. Do you understand? Now, I would get a reservation in it, but she'd say, no, we're not going into that place. It's been a difficulty over there. As you pray for me, all right? Anyway, and so they're having church in this hotel. And we walk into this hotel room. And besides our group, there was 11 people in that service. And I'm telling you what, we had a great service. We really did. We had a couple days kind of open up on the schedule, and Dr. Bielo called me and said, find something to do Monday and Tuesday that's spiritual work. Just find something. I said, okay, no, not a problem. And we did, and we stayed with that church. And that church, I just told you, had 11 in the Sunday night service. We have 2 students from there this semester. You just can't figure things out, can you? Just amazing. So we go from there, and eventually we're in, on July 4th, which is a Sunday, we're in New York City with Ben and Andrea Hamilton. Okay, now, I drove in New York City twice, all right? All I want to say is we're still married, but you can pray for us, okay? Because my wife has never been impressed with my driving, and she really wasn't that day in New York City. But we survived. The van is still operating as far as I can tell. Anyway, we got it. But anyway, we're in a service in the, Ben and Andrea Hamilton. They've been there 8 years. Now, I don't know about you, but in my church in Nebraska, July 4th, we just survived that Sunday. You understand what I mean? It was going to be a down Sunday. They had 35 people there. Some of those people had been on transportation for an hour to get to church. And you just start to realize just how big this world is and how needed the Great Commission is. And in order to carry out that Great Commission, we need a voice. We need voices. We need people that will understand the importance of taking the gospel to this lost and dying world. Think about that concept just for a second. All the voices we have political voices today, don't we? Saying all kinds of things. In the day and age in which we live, economic voices, different ideas, different plans. But what we need is a voice just like John in John chapter 1. And this morning I want you to look with me at 4 aspects, 4 characteristics of this voice. We must have voices for the work that God has called us to do. If you notice, first of all, with me in verse 20, John chapter 1 and verse 20, the voice must be someone who is grounded. This is what he said in last part of verse 19. Who art thou? And he confessed, verse 20, and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. In this passage, John is going to make 3 specific statements about himself. And if we're going to have a voice, if we're going to have somebody serve the Lord, we have to have people that understand who they are. Now, this is a simple statement. I think everybody understands exactly this statement. But he said this, I am not the Christ. And we'd say, well, nobody would think that, and I understand, but some people have started out to be a good voice and they've got just a little bit off astray, haven't they? And they've started to say some strange things about themselves, about their ministry. John knew who he was. I am not the Christ. Really, all of us in the ministry are really just a temporary placeholder in that place that God has put us. We were in Nebraska 26 years. My wife and I sometimes will say to us, the hardest thing we ever did was leave that church. You know that? Now, I knew it was going to be hard when we made the decision that we were going to leave. But as the time got closer, I realized it got harder all the time. Because now we will miss things that I want to be at. You understand, if you've been in the same church for a long time, there's people that have passed away, and I wanted to preach that funeral. I did. But I'm not there. Everything we have that the Lord has given to us, a ministry, will one day, we want it to continue, but second of all, eventually we'll have to turn it over to somebody else. Do you know why? Because we're not the Christ. We're just a voice. We're just a temporary voice. Now, thank God for faithful people. Thank God for people who have been faithful for decades and stayed in a place and stayed in the same position and done a work for God. But one day, somebody else is going to have to be in that place. John understood who he is, who he was. Do you think that maybe the problem today is sometimes we have a tendency to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think? Like the kids will say, he thinks he's all that in a bag of chips, and we know he's not even a good bag of chips, you know? I mean, but do we understand that everything we do for the Lord, it's for the Lord? And the Lord, for that work to continue, we need a voice. And we need a voice just as something as simple as, I am not the Christ. He was grounded in himself. He understood himself. He understood his position. He understood his weakness. He understood the opportunity. He understood the privilege. But he was still just a voice. He was just a voice. Second of all, would you see with me in verse 23, he was focused. First of all, he was grounded. But second of all, he was focused. Last part of verse 22, what sayest thou of thyself? Verse 23, now he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. He was focused. We think of that phrase, make straight, the voice of one in verse 23, crying in the wilderness. There's some places in the ministry, there's some things that God has given people to do that seem extremely lonely, don't they? They seem, as we would say, on the backside of the desert kind of place. Nobody notices them, nobody knows about them, but every work done for the Lord is an important work. Every place that God calls somebody to go is an important place. It's a special place. I love the story of people that have gone to a place and nobody's heard of that place, nobody's heard of them, and there they are just laboring faithful day after day, year after year, faithful to the work of God, faithful to what God has called them to do, and they just stay there and they're just like the voice of one crying in the wilderness. They have a message and they just stay faithful in that message. Stay faithful in that place. God has a place, doesn't he? Boy, in the day and age in which we live, the needs of the ministry, the needs of the mission field are so huge we can't even wrap our mind around it sometimes. I mean, the needs of people, of churches without pastors, of places where somebody can preach, not to take into account the mission fields of the world, places where we need someone to go. Someone was just telling me of a church in Atlanta, and a church starting in Atlanta, and we understand Atlanta, we understand Metro Atlanta, all that, but he said in the city limits of Atlanta, which he said, this person, the numbers I was given was almost 500,000 people just in the city limits of Atlanta. We understand Atlanta's bigger than that, but the city limits. This church is going to be the only independent Baptist church in that area. They said what they call the perimeter, the interstate that goes around there, the perimeter. That's almost impossible to believe, isn't it? For me, it is. I've only driven through Atlanta, but it seems impossible, but I've heard it of other cities, and I know it's true. And we understand there's church in the suburbs. I'm not saying that. But I am saying there is a place, there is a work to be done, but we need somebody that will go to the wilderness. We need somebody that will go to a place and serve the Lord and be exactly what God has for them to do. There's a little church started out in a town, Sutherland, Nebraska, just on the other side of North Platte, Nebraska. There was a guy pastoring in North Platte. He's an old Central grad. Jones was his name. He just passed away recently. He was pastoring a church in North Platte. North Platte, a pretty good-sized city. And he set up a tent in this little town. This is in the late 60s, early 70s. Sets up a tent, and he preaches every night for 3 weeks in this tent. Little town of about 1,000. One family gets saved. And they start a church out of that. Hope Baptist Church. One young man, and so this church struggles, small town, you understand, the Midwest, struggles, couldn't keep a pastor, couldn't pay a pastor, the guy's working, you understand all the difficulties. One time they're having a business meeting to decide whether or not they just shut the whole thing down and forget about it. And somebody said to a man, he said, you know, Dale, you should pastor this church. He said, oh, no, not me. He said, I've never been to Bible college. I can't do anything. He's just a farmer and a rancher. He said, no, they said, you're the best man in the church. So we can't pay a pastor, so with you, pastor, we don't have to worry about that. And he said, I can't do it. He said, I refuse to do it. And they said, well, you can pray about it, can't you? Let me just say, be careful of that statement there. God's going to call you to do something. He said, well, I can pray about it. He said he went home to tell the Lord no. And he said, as he bowed his head, the Lord said, you're going to do it. And he said, no, Lord, I can't. He said, the Lord said, you're going to do it. He pastored 23 years, dropped dead of a heart attack on his property. Just got the harvest in the fall. For 23 years, he was a farmer and a rancher and a preacher. He was what I called him the chaplain for the entire area. If somebody had a funeral, he did. He did a funeral in every church in that city. I mean, everyone. He said, I don't care what they think about me in the Kelly Church. He said, I'm not coming back. So he said, they got the gospel that day. You know, now, we don't really prefer that mode of operation, but different situations call for different times. You know what he was? He was a voice. I'm telling you what, that man's got a reward in heaven. Because you know what he did? He had a job to do. He thought he wasn't up to the job, but he just did it. He just did it. He just stayed faithful at that job. What we need are people that will understand how important the ministry is, how great it is, what a challenge it is. And they'll say, I am the voice of one. The message isn't about me. The message is about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not the message. I'm just the messenger. What a blessing that is to just be the messenger. And we need folks that will realize, listen, God has a place for you. And what we need today are voices. A voice, first of all, one that's grounded. Second of all, one that's focused. Thirdly, would you see with me in verse 26 and 27, someone who is humble. Verse 26, John chapter 1, verse 26. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. Do you see those three statements we already looked at? Verse 20, the last part, I am not the Christ. Verse 23, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Now verse 27, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. He's first of all grounded, second of all he's focused, but thirdly, he's humble. He's humble. Humility sometimes seems to me to be a lost cause today. You know that? I don't know if it's just the day and age in which we live. I don't know if it's some of the leaders we've had on the national scene. I don't know what it is, but it just seems like we are awfully full of ourselves today. When what we need is somebody that's not full of themselves, but full of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, listen, I'm so low, I shouldn't even touch his shoes. That's who I am. That's where I am. And we need someone that will rise up and say, you know what? I want that same kind of humility where God can use me and I have something to do, but I realize that God wants to use me, but I am just a simple voice for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know, we've elevated men so much. We've been disappointed by men so much. We've elevated guys that have done this or written all that. We need to come back to a little bit of humility. We're not anybody great, but we serve a great King. We have a great message. And I don't mean the kind of humility that sits around and does nothing. That's not humility. That's actually pride. We need somebody that's humble enough to do the work, to get in the work, to stay in the work, and to say, listen, I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't even unlash his shoes, but I have a privilege to be a voice, to be a messenger. And there's a place for one of our students to go to. And we need to have students that'll say, listen, it's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. Humility. I don't know, sometimes it seems like a characteristic's lost in our day and age, you know? I don't know if we've watched the media so much, if we watch videos of people talking so much and it's all about them, that we've forgotten that that's not the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone with a humble spirit. Somebody with a self-sacrificing spirit. A spirit to serve others. Then there's a last statement I want you to look at about John in verse 29. Characteristics of a voice. He's first of all grounded, secondly focused, thirdly humble, but fourthly, there's a doctrinal aspect to it. Do you see it in verse 29? The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Can't you just picture John? Three times he said, I am not this. I am not this. And then he says, behold. This is who I'm talking about. The Lord Jesus Christ. When we see him, Isaiah chapter 6, high and lifted up, it should change us. It should change us. A little voice. A voice. I was 19 when God called me to preach and called me to Bible college. I'm thankful that I didn't realize that when I got to Bible college, you had to take a class called speech. I hated speech. I hated speech in high school. I despised it in college. I survived it. The first day of speech class, the speech teacher said, we're going to love this class. She's lying. She says, we're going to have a great time together. She was lying again. She says, we're become great friends. No, we're not. No, we're not. That speech teacher and husband went as missionaries to Singapore. They called up my church when I was pastor and said, can we come for a meeting? No, because we're still not friends, all right? Because I don't want speech class. It's kind of foolish to say you're called to preach and you don't like speech class. I understand that. But after I was called to preach and before I went to Bible college, my mother set me aside and said, my grandmother passed away in 1975, just before I went to Bible college. My grandmother had prayed that I would go in the ministry. Prayed that before I was born. Now, this is a different generation to you young people, but we didn't know all of the things and have everybody named and the room done before the baby was born. I understand it's a different day and age. Old school stuff, but it's where I live, so it's all right. But she prayed that I'd be a boy and that I would preach. She never told me one time. My parents, who knew about it, never told me one time until after I said I was called to preach. Hey, do you know something? There's been times in the ministry and in life when I thought it wasn't really worth going on. And that was until I remembered my grandmother praying for me. And I thought about her. I can picture that home. It's in Medelia, Minnesota. I can picture the little chair she would sit in. I used to go over there sometimes if she only lived like 10 miles away from me. And so we would have time. And then she'd say, after dinner, she'd always say this. She said, I'm sitting in that chair. She said, this is my quiet time. She says, I'm going to be there about an hour and a half. She says, don't talk to me for any reason. She says, when I get out of the chair, then I'm done praying and we can go on with our day. But she said, don't disturb me that entire time. I can still picture my mind's eye sitting in that chair. She's praying for me. How can we be anything less than a voice? What we desire for these students, for other students, is for them to realize God has a place for them. God has a special place for them. God can use them in a tremendous way. Now, we were this summer in New York City. I mentioned it. Now, listen, I love visiting there, but don't ever make me live there. Seriously. I'm telling you what. It takes a special person to survive there. I'm glad I got to see it. I'm telling you what. It is a mass of humanity. A mass of humanity. On their street, 10% of the people maybe speak English. I mean, it's amazing. Thank God somebody's there. We've got other graduates in that huge area doing a good job reaching people. Challenges, I mean, unbelievable challenges. I can't even wrap my mind around the different challenges between pastoring there and where I pastored. But what we need is someone who'll be a voice. There's a place for you. That's what Ambassador is all about, is producing people that say, I have a job, I have a ministry, I have a mission. God has called me to do something. And there's John. What's he saying? It's not about him. He said, behold, the Lamb of God. Let's never forget the importance of that last little phrase there in verse 29, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus died for the sins of everyone. Not just for a certain select few, not just my little country club, not us four and no more, not my little group, but every single person. The hymn writer said, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Do we still believe that today in 2022, that God can save anybody, that anybody can be saved? Or does it just have to be our own little group that we like? No. It's the entire world. Jesus died for the sins of everyone, and anyone can get saved. But someone's got to bring the message to him. That's why we need a voice. That's why we need the voice. Telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. My grandfather on the other side was a farmer in Minnesota. One morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, he's milking cows. I thank God every day of my life that I grew up after that time period. I would have died out there. But anyway, everybody in my family agrees with that statement. I'm not just picking at me. That's the flat out truth. My grandfather's out there working at 5 o'clock in the morning. Into the barn that day steps a young preacher boy. He had just graduated from Northwestern College, trained under W.B. Riley. He came into the barn and he said to my grandfather, he said, Nick, need any help with the cows this morning? He's milking them by hand. He's got about 30 to 40. He said, yeah, he needs help. And that pastor sat down. He's an old farm boy. And he helped him milk the cows. And he came not every single day, every so often. And over a period of a couple months, he just kept witnessing to my grandfather, little by little, little by little. One day, while they're milking cows, my grandfather got saved in that barn. A couple weeks later, he got baptized. He was in his 50s when he got saved. He was a Minnesota Lutheran. That's a rough crowd. He lived to be 96, grew to be a strong Christian. I tell you, what was it about? It was somebody that was just a voice. At 5 o'clock in the morning, in a Minnesota barn, he's out there sharing the gospel. That's what I want to be. That's what I want to be. I want to be the voice of one crying in the wilderness. There's a place. There's a ministry. There's something for God to do. That's the heartbeat of Ambassador. That's what we want to instill in our students, that you can be a voice for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can point others to the Lord Jesus Christ, and God can use you in a tremendous way. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Lord, what a blessing it is to be in this church. We thank you for this place. We thank you for these folks, and we pray your blessing upon this church. And Lord, we pray that each one of us in our life, in our ministry, be faithful for what you've called us to do. Help us, Lord, just like John, John chapter 1, to be a voice of one crying to the wilderness, to be faithful for what you've called us to be, what you've called us to do. Lord, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.